Welcome to the Midday. I'm Norman.
I'm Stephanie.
And we have the most one of the most charming pianists in the world with us.
A legendary artist. He's appeared, in all the world's greatest concert halls. And for years was the pianist with the most recordings available on the market and has a long relationship with Wisconsin Public Radio and Television and with the University of Wisconsin in Madison.
Who could this be?
Welcome back to the Midday, Paul Badura Skoda.
Well, happy to be back. It's the nation's oldest station.
That's right. That's right. You've been doing your homework. You're in the vicinity. You're in Wisconsin to play a couple of concerts. One of them at Farley's House of Pianos. You'll be playing, in that case, it's an 1877 Steinway.
Yes, it's a beautiful piano, in perfect condition. And there's a wonderful special sound, probably made by the old Steinway himself. And on Thursday, I'm playing a modern Steinway, also a very good instrument, playing with the orchestra, with the university orchestra, young people. We had the first rehearsal, and Jim Smith, an excellent conductor, and a very cordial, friendly relation.
Yes, he's a formidable conductor. I actually performed as a narrator with Maestro Smith conducting one time. Is one of the most terrifying experiences of my professional career. That's how exacting he is.
What will you be performing with the University Orchestra?
Mozart's C minor concerto. You usually count them by the numbers, but they are always wrong. Number 24, in reality, it's something like 18 and 19. It's very hard to keep count. It's much easier with Beethoven, who wrote only 5 piano concertos. But in fact, he wrote a 6th one because his violin concerto has been
transcribed.
So there we are.
And you have how many pianos at home? And are you at home in Vienna?
Now I have only 5 pianos left because the gist of my collection went into a beautiful castle in Upper Austria. But it still is my collection. About 20 historical instruments, starting with a harpsichord of Bach's time and original pianos of the time of Mozart and Haydn, very difficult to find, and I'm the proud owner of these instruments.
So it sounds like they found a good home in a castle in Austria.
It's a music museum, and it's has always been my preoccupation, to keep them in good surroundings. Not only air condition, but humidification is so important. And not only that, but they have technicians to take care of the instruments there. So it couldn't be better.
So we're going to hear you play a Chopin mazurka. And what kind of piano is that?
That is a normal modern piano, a Bösendorfer, recorded in Vienna some years ago. And I'm going to perform that also on Saturday.
This is the mazurka in C sharp minor. It's hard to know what just the right word for a mazurka like that, C sharp minor of Chopin, and your performance. I mean, Chopin so often seems to have this sort of haunting quality, don't you think?
Oh, yes, indeed. And particularly in mazurkas, you feel that even though he adjusted perfectly well to life in France, actually had also been in Vienna, in my hometown, and liked the pianos there. But, of course, you always feel he's being homesick, and this haunting expression is found in most of his mazurkas. Only rarely are they joyful than when he records, this happy times of his youth.
You'll be performing 4 of his mazurkas this Saturday evening at Farley's House of Pianos. And what else is on that program?
Well, that program is nearly identical with the one I played in memory of the legendary pianist Dino Lipatti, who died 60 years ago. And exactly 60 years after his last concert, I play the same program in the city where he had performed, namely in Besançon in France. So it's Bach's first partita and Mozart's A minor sonata, one of the greatest piano works by Mozart, followed by two Schubert impromptus, and second half is all Chopin. Here I deviate from what Lipatti had played. He had played the complete Chopin waltzes. I play only a selection of waltzes, the four mazurkas mentioned, and the Barcarolle, a piece which Lipatti recorded beautifully. I recorded it too, several times.
Also beautifully, I'm sure.
I hope so. And I finish with the second scherzo by also Chopin.
Well, that is a full program. And you're playing all of those on the 1877 instrument?
I suppose, yes. He has a much more recent instrument of 1882 or 1892, I forgot the date, on which I might also perform a part of the program. So we like antiquities.
Well, you know, you mentioned Chopin and the waltzes. He was, and Vienna, of course. He spent time in Vienna, and that's where, I guess, Chopin just found out that waltzes were all the craze. Everybody had to listen to these. They were would have been Strauss Sr. waltzes in his time, and Lanner, too, I suppose,
right,
and,
yes.
And a few other composers. But Chopin wrote waltzes really just sort of grudgingly, didn't he? I mean, he was reluctant to write them, and then the Chopin waltzes, so many of them that he did write, are still kind of haunting.
Yes, it's. They also have a great variety of expression, but they are much happier, much more serene in general. I don't know whether he was reluctant. Sometimes he liked to have fun, like with the famous minute waltz I'm yes. also playing. There's a legend that it should be played in 1 minute. Now, we had once a television performance in Vienna where there was betting, is it possible or not? Because normally that waltz takes...
More like 2 minutes.
No, 1.5 minutes or 1 minute 27. Uh-huh. That's my timing. But if you play it in a terrible speed, we managed to get it down to 58 seconds.
But doesn't it really mean minute and not minute, but minute, just meaning small?
No, I don't think it was really meant
really it was
minute.
Meant
yes, yes. These are the legends, which most of them are not authentic. Chopin probably would have scoffed at that idea because this is a charming little waltz.
Yes, good marketing, though, to have a story.
Always, yes. Most of these stories are invented later.
Well, that's what advertising is about, isn't it? It's the story and not always the literal truth behind it. You have also mentioned Bach here, and of course there's a big controversy among musicians whether Bach ever should be played on the piano. But Bach was kind of forward-thinking, wasn't he? I mean, he was always interested in new instruments, and the keyboard was developing in his time.
And the piano already was in full existence, and his, you could say, his friend, Silbermann, organ and harpsichord builder, built the first German pianos, pianofortes, with hammer action, and... harpsichordists always hide the fact that Bach liked them. Mm-hmm. And he played one of these instruments when he visited the King Frederick II from Prussia. I don't like to call him the great.
No, that's pretty controversial too.
But you know
too.
Why? Because Bach sent him his musical offering. And this reminds me that sometimes it's badly translated, musical sacrifice. And he didn't pay him for that, which was very unkingly and unkindly.
For a pretty substantial piece of work.
Yes. Oh, also very
so with that
now.
Knowledge, I have not the slightest shame in playing Bach on the modern piano.
And here's what some of it sounded like. This is from the Partita number 1 in B-flat with our guest, Paul Badura-Skoda. Thank you. wonderful, delicate touch in the music of Johann Sebastian Bach.
That was the Partita No. 1 in B-flat major, which is starting off the program at Farley's House of Pianos this Saturday evening with our guest Paul Badura-Skoda. You can enjoy that in an intimate salon concert. You can find information about that one at farleyspianos.com.
You entered the Vienna Conservatory in 1945. That was not such a serene time to be in music. What was it like?
Well, fortunately, Vienna was not as much destroyed as other cities by the bombs of U.S. and English bombers, but pretty damaged, and it was very romantic for me as an 18-year-old boy to walk through the deserted streets with houses destroyed or not destroyed, no street lights yet under the moonlight, and that, I think, inspired me to practice more, particularly the next winter from 1945 to 1946. It was very cold.
Yes.
And the only way to survive was to play fast pieces. That's how I learned the Chopin etudes.
I never thought about that.
You had over 200 or so LPs recorded. That must have been a pretty hectic schedule for years and years and years.
Well, I did it time after time, not so much a hurry. I try always to give my recordings, whether they are recent or, for example, what we just heard was 29 years ago, to give the same impression of a live performance. Of my invite listeners, friendly listeners, of course, not music critics, to my recordings. And this gives me the feedback we need, because otherwise we feel too much in isolation. So I must say I enjoyed making recordings. At the same time, these are, and I'm not the only one to recognize this, our best piano lessons. When you hear what you actually play, it's the first time you are aghast. You think, that's me. But later you really learn how to listen to yourself, and I think this has helped me over the years also when making chamber music. And I'm particularly happy when I can make chamber music with other musicians of my liking, wonderful experiences to play duet violin piano with David Oistrakh. Mm. The last concert, the last recital he gave was with me.
Was it?
Yes, and it was in 1974 on the 29th of May. And he was in full form, and we never expected that he would die so suddenly after that.
That's right, and actually, wasn't it sometime after that you got a recording of that performance?
How do you know the story? Well, I thought the recording was lost to my regret. But what could you do? And it was Elizabeth, my partner, who found it in a closet 30 years later, and immediately we sent it to my recording company. At that time, it's Genuine Records in Germany, and they were proud and happy to publish
it. Yes, I would think so. Well, as long as we're talking about chamber music, let's go down to the 12:30 quiz question with one of Mozart's violin sonatas. This is the first movement, the Adagio, from a sonata in G, and this is Paul Badura-Skoda with violinist Thomas Albertus Inberger. First movement, the Adagio of the violin sonata in G by Mozart.
It was played on an original Walter piano,
yes.
Right?
Anton Walter, the best piano built in Mozart's time, and Mozart's favorite piano instructor. Mozart gave most of his concerts in Vienna on his own instrument, which was from the same maker. And I had to wait 50 years before finally I could find such a piano, of course not in perfect condition, but one could immediately sense its quality. It was in Italy, and now it's...
It's in the castle?
It belonged to a lawyer who was not a pianist at all, and it was good, so the piano had retained its original pressure and quality, and the strings were without tension. Anyhow, I think altogether about 18 instruments of Walter have survived, and this is one of those.
Oh, lucky you. Well, we'll hear a bit more from Paul Badura Skoda after the 12:30 quiz question here on Wisconsin Public Radio. And we continue with, we'll find out what our prize is, too. It's a very nice special prize today, too.
I believe it perhaps will be autographed, we hope.
We're going to be working on that shortly. And in the meantime, we have some more from our guest today, Paul Badura Skoda, and this takes us into the realm of Debussy.
L'Île Joyeuse?
Brought down the house when Paul Badura Skoda played that joyous aisle of Claude Debussy.
Well, it's been a joy to have you on the program, Paul. And for those of you in the south central part of the state, if you would like to enjoy Paul Badura Skoda in concert, he's appearing in two places. On Thursday evening, he is performing with the UW-Madison Chamber Orchestra under the direction of James Smith. He's doing the Piano Concerto No. 24 in C minor by Mozart. And that is 7:30 p.m. in Mills Hall on the campus at UW. And you can find information about that at music.wisc.edu. And then on Saturday evening, he's appearing also in Madison at Farley's House of Pianos, where we've talked about the program a little bit, all kinds of Chopin and Bach and Mozart, Schubert. And you can find information about that at farleyspianos.com, or you can call for tickets at 608-271-2626. And that's also at 7:30 p.m. That one is Saturday evening.
Always a pleasure to see you. Hurry back.
It was wonderful to be with you, Norman and Stephanie. Until next time, bye-bye.
À la prochaine. Thank you.
À la prochaine.